This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the morning run continues with the top business stories of the day. We have Melissa Idris and Julian Ng with Mishraat Kutin. Just a quick reminder on the Breakfast Grill coming up after the 8 a.m. bulletin is Kamaluddin Ahmad. He's CEO of Maybank Aegis Holdings, and he's going to go head-to-head with Ibrahim Sani. And they're going to be talking about plans for their Islamic business as well as regional expansion and growth. So all that on the Breakfast Grill after the 8 a.m. bulletin. Now we turn to Malaysia. Malaysia's PI Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index fell marginally to 47.1 in November from October's 47.2, marking the lowest reading since June. Now, for us, the uninitiated, what is a Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index?
Well, in short, it's just known as the PMI, the Purchasing Managers Index. And I'm not too sure, but I think this is where the people who run the index, who manage the index, and we all must know that the index is a representative of something, right? A representative of a kind of sentiment for you to find out the direction of where something is going. So you can have property indices, stock market indices. And this is an index of, I feel, the intentions of purchasing managers in manufacturing companies around Malaysia and also around the world. So what they do is, I think they pick up the phone. And
it's a questionnaire that's sent
It's a questionnaire. Yep. You ask a series of questions about your buying intentions for the future. And apparently, Malaysian purchasing managers are not so sanguine about the future. They're reducing their purchases of the future, which is a reflection.
You're reading like raw materials for their products and
stuff? Yes, anything that goes into the manufacturing process. And this is not very good, not a very good leading indicator about the direction of the economy. It usually foretells whether the economy is going to be strong or not.
You know, what's worrying is the fact that this was the sharpest decline that we've seen since this index has started, but I think it's 2012. So this decline is in fact the sharpest drop that this index has seen.
But compared from last month, it's 47.2 to 47.1. Is that sharp?
It's a 5-month low.
Okay, it's a 5-month low, but it's not a sharp drop from the month before.
Well, it's the sharpest decline in new orders. So okay, maybe not in the index, but specifically because the index looks at new orders, output, employment, suppliers, delivery times, etc. So in new orders, it's the sharpest decline. And it just, I guess, is really kind of quite stark if you put it in comparison with what we discussed a little earlier with China. China going up and perhaps, you know, signaling a
So it's the rest
recovery.
Of the world, actually. China, Japan, Europe, Taiwan, Vietnam. You know, so the question is, why is Malaysia being contrarian to the rest of the world?
That's a question that I guess is that question answered by this index? I mean, do they provide explanatory notes? They're just documenting.
It's begging for an answer from you, Shrug.
Okay.
Or you, Julian.
IHS Market, which reports the index. Now they came up with a little bit of explanation. They said that the unstable market conditions, firms had actually commented on a lack of new product initiatives, which led to a drop in the total sales. Also, just coming back to the new export orders, Sharad, that sharp drop is, in fact, that sharp drop was the sixth successive month of a drop. And that's why I think it's quite important to look at, because firms are cutting back on making new orders. Means they're not optimistic about future business. Right?
I also think that has something to do with the ringgit, because if you are going to plan your purchases and you see a very volatile local currency, you would kind of hold off a little bit until the volatility settles a little bit, because this affects your cost. I mean, if you buy something at a very high cost, which would be the case right now if you're importing things, then the weak ringgit has made your purchases like, 20-30% more expensive. And so the question is whether you want to buy today or you hold off a little. So this is slightly more positive to me, not entirely more positive, because that doesn't mean that they have a bleak outlook of the future. It just means that they are holding off purchases until the ringgit stabilizes. You know, this is just my interpretation, but I could be wrong.
And so, and is there an expectation that the ringgit will stabilize in the near future? Is that the hope?
That's Let me check my crystal ball.
That's the billion-dollar question.
Well, you see, I don't know why you didn't bring it this morning. We're going to begin with the story involving Integrity, Top Glove Corporation, and Digi.com. Among four companies in the newly set up Business Integrity Alliance, or BIA, which brings companies together committed to doing business with integrity. We have on the line Mark Lovett. He is CEO of Trident Integrity Solutions, one of those four companies. He's also the newly minted BIA Secretary General. Mark, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.
Why BIA and why now?
Yeah, good question. I think what we found was that there are a number of initiatives out there across the region. My previous work was with Transparency International Malaysia, and we looked at a number of programs that had been set up, and we found that on the whole, they were government-driven, and they didn't really link to business drivers. So we wanted to set up a program that delivered value from business integrity and that connected well with how businesses themselves work, and we wanted to do it as a business initiative. And then once it was set up, we wanted to draw in the government and utilize all the hard work that Datuk Paul Lau, Minister for Governance and Integrity, who was actually my boss at TI Malaysia for a number of years, has done. So we wanted to be something that worked the business, that was self-sustaining, and that had the potential to grow. Why now? I think there's a big change that happened a few years ago in the international commercial environment, which was the implementation of the UK Bribery Act, which was put into place, became active in July 2011.
Now, Mark, this is a very interesting point because Malaysia also, I'm Julian, by the way, Malaysia also has an Anti-Corruption Act, which is the MACC Act in effect. So is there a difference between what the BIA is trying to achieve and the MACC Act? And is it the case that the MACC Act is not comprehensive enough that a private sector supplementation is needed?
Yeah, I think they're both intended to do the same job, which is to combat corruption. What's interesting about the UK Bribery Act is it's very specifically focused on companies. So it draws on the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, which is the American legislation, but it takes it a step further. So any company that has operations in the UK is under the Act, the UK Act, which means that any company which has an office or a depot any other operation there actually is open to prosecution by the UK government. Now, the MACC Act is a much broader piece of legislation. And interestingly enough, Datuk Paul is trying to implement a new clause under the MACC Act, the Corporate Liability Amendment, which would also make companies liable for the activities of their staff, which is very much on the same lines as the UK Bribery Act.
Mark, very quickly, what are the bad things that businesses are doing? I mean, what naughty things are they doing that need to be clamped down on?
Yeah, I think we're all familiar with what goes on. Excessive use of gifts and hospitality, kickbacks, sometimes things which are rather unsavory, like use of call girls and so on and so forth. All these things are put into place to try and create undue influence so that companies can win contracts that they're not really entitled to, and then fail to perform against those contracts and make more money. But in fact, the consumer or the client is on the losing side. So we need to do something about that.
Mark, Melissa here. Now, I think initially you said you're looking at 20 companies for the membership of this alliance. 20 seems like a small figure to me. And also, how many GLCs are we talking about? Are these just private companies, or are we talking also about government-linked companies in this alliance?
Yes, I think 20 was our initial target for next year. A number of people have said to me that seems very conservative, but I come from a project background, and what I find is it's best to start with something realistic and manageable, get it working properly, and then introduce scale once the system is set up. And regarding GLCs, yes, we're very open to the right kind of GLC. The companies that we want to work with are those who have a genuine commitment to integrity. We see a lot of whitewash, people saying the right thing but doing something else. So those companies, and I think, you know, the initial companies that have joined, Top Glove, Digi, and Thumbprints United, we chose them because we know them well, and we know that they work hard to implement this concept or this value of integrity. And that's the kind of company that we want to draw in and help make integrity work for them and deliver business value.
Mark, you said that you have been with TI before, and TI has many times pointed out that Malaysia has fallen or found lacking in those rankings. So do you agree that there is some case for a kind of leadership by example in Malaysia, especially now that we are doing a lot more business with China? Do you think that we need a much higher level of scrutiny about corporate integrity?
Yes, I would agree with that. And I think the work that the Securities Commission is doing is very important in this area. The new guidelines that are coming out, hopefully published in January. I would say that because of the UK Bribery Act, and multinationals particularly are looking for positive environments where they can put down their operations and build up their presence in the region, in places where their staff are not going to be subject to the temptations that are quite common in this part of the world. And I think working with China, yes. I mean, if you look at what the president is doing there with the anti-corruption campaign, which shows no sign of halting, and it's getting, in fact, stronger as time goes by, then I would guess that the Chinese government are also open and interested in companies that will help them in that agenda. So business integrity can be an asset.
That was Mark Lovett, CEO of Trident Integrity Solutions, one of four companies that have just formed the Business Integrity Alliance. They're saying they're targeting 20 companies by the end of next year. Moving on, the Securities Commission is now said to be looking at the Vivacom case, which has raised questions about the sometimes cozy relationship between banks and the companies they cover.
So I think this relates to that saga that was released yesterday that CIMB Research, along with two other smaller research houses, released Vivacom's latest financial results ahead of the formal announcement on Bursa Malaysia, which is the standard practice. And SC's quote from The Edge this morning is that SC is aware of this matter and is looking into this. And I think we can assume here that a full investigation is underway as mm-hmm. far as this case is concerned. The question here is whether certain people are getting information ahead of others is what really is the point of contention here.
I guess for me, I'm trying to wrap my mind around it, right? So I think there's been a concerns raised of asymmetrical information in the market. Some people are getting the information earlier before others.
Which leads to insider trading and market rigging and manipulation and so on.
Right, I see. Okay, so the question, I mean, help me understand this, Julian. I thought it was normal for companies to give analysts guidance even beforehand. So that, in a way, isn't that asymmetrical information?
This is not strictly a guidance. This is an announcement of a result. So this is when you perform something and you have your accounts being looked at, the accountant, you are reporting this to the market. A guidance is something that's different.
An estimate of where you think the earnings are going.
When companies and corporates give such information to the market, they usually want to give it all at once so that everybody in the market can have access to this information at the same time, because it is desirable that stock markets are level playing fields, that not one person gets information ahead of another and take advantage of that in terms of either buying or selling the stock. So I think this is very important, and this is yet going to be another test case for the Securities Commission to test the resolve of Malaysian companies, including CIMB, which has in the past seen procedural malfunctions, in that $7 million account, in Nazir Razak's account. This is a continuation of that. And we're just wondering whether this is going to be a tip of the iceberg for corporate Malaysia.
Julian, looking back over the last couple of years, do you remember many of these such cases? I mean, are we looking at fairly rare occurrences, at least in this
regard? Yeah, like
a
one-off. And I kind of want to come back to Jules's point, comment about a tip of the iceberg. Tip of the iceberg of what? The coziness between the corporate and analyst relationship?
Yeah, the coziness, the kind of things that happen behind the scene. And this also relates back to our discussion about business integrity earlier. I think the most important thing is compliance and procedures, whether those rules and regulations are being followed or not behind the scene. In this vein, CIMB has actually come up with a statement. I think they have done slightly better than Vivacom because CIMB says that there are rules and there are clear policies an investigation is underway now whether those policies have been breached. But, you know, The Edge actually contacted Viva.com as well, and they just said, sorry, no comment, not sure what happened to the analyst. I think as the company responding to this news, you want to do better than that. You want to say that you support openness and business integrity and accountability.
Do you think now, you know, corporate Malaysia, well, people are just watching the SC, whether they have the resolve to, you know, take action about this?
I think the resolve from the SC is there, as witnessed by their investigation and subsequent prosecutions of many cases. They are right now being seen to take note of this kind of thing and provide some degree of gravity to the situation.
Well, we're coming up to the news, and after that, we'll have opening numbers in the stock market and more analysis. You're listening to The Morning Run on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.